Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi guys, I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture.
And I'm Andy Murray from What Culture. And today I'm going to tell you about a scary situation that unfolded at the house of WWE's Paige as a stalker was arrested outside the building. And on top of that, I'm going to talk about Jon Moxley, AEW's world champion, and what he really thought about working with Eddie Kingston.
And speaking of AEW, Bayley wants a dream match against one of their stars, and the captain of Team SmackDown ahead of Survivor Series has been revealed. This is the news.
So we're going to kick things off with this Paige story, which is really horrible. Ronnie Radke, her partner, musician, you may know him, tweeted the following yesterday with images of what's going down here. A stalker had the audacity to come to my door, got his ass handed to him until the police arrived and saved the day. There's images here of the arrest, obviously obscuring the assailant's face and so forth. Paige quote tweeted this with some comments of her own, saying, "Scariest things ever. He told us that symbols led him to us, but Ronnie got him in a hold until the police got there. WTF is wrong with people. Thank God Ronnie is around to protect our house." She extrapolated on this a little bit on Instagram, stating that the stalker had actually been sending gifts and flowers to the house for a month prior to showing up, adding that Radke acted very, very quickly, put the guy in a hold until law enforcement arrived, and thanked the police for showing up promptly and defusing the situation. So obviously the main thing here is the general health and well-being of Paige and Ronnie Radke as the victims. Sounds like nobody was hurt. That's good to hear. We can obviously only hope that the two of them are in a safer position now that the person involved with this has been apprehended and so forth. But we don't have any further details on this. It's just a very worrying, horrible, scary situation, particularly as it's less than 3 months after the Sonya Deville incident.
Yeah, exactly. Really horrible couple of stories to find out about this year. Awful news to wake up to, as you said. And those two incidents so close together. Look, the two people behind these incidents are clearly not well, but yeah. I think it also speaks to a wider issue in terms of the way that we as fans sometimes interact with our favourite wrestlers. Look, you can be as big a fan of someone as you want. You can, you know, really promote them and you know, do whatever you deem appropriate to show your support for them. But you have to respect personal boundaries, whether that be when you see them out in public, whether that be simply just sending them messages unsolicited on social media, or taking things to the far, far extreme as we've seen here. It's about a toxic relationship that a lot of us do have with our favourite wrestlers, and we just have to respect that they are their own people, and whilst they are there to entertain us, they've got their own lives too, Andy.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. You know, I think we need to close whatever open door allows people to find out exactly where these people live, where famous people live, because it's just... I don't want to speak too much on this because it's obviously a very delicate situation and so forth, but stories like this, I honest to God hate coming into work 7 a.m. in the morning looking for stories to cover and seeing something like this thing sitting at the top. This is our job, it's what we got to do, and we got to tell you about these things and talk about them. At the end of the day, I just hope that Paige and Ronnie are not too shaken up by this, and that, you know, whatever measures are needed to be taken to prevent things like this from happening again are taken.
Exactly. The health and well-being of Paige and Ronnie is the most important thing. Let's move on now and talk about that dream match I alluded to earlier. Bayley hoping to wrestle one of AEW stars, a champion in AEW, sort of, I suppose. AEW's Serena Deeb, who is, of course, NWA Women's World Champion, defending that title on the buy-in of Full Gear against Allison Kay on Saturday night. Basically, her name was mentioned by indie wrestler Shazza McKenzie as part of this dream match list she'd love to face once the ongoing global bastard calms down. And Bayley responded, "I'm first." Serena Deeb is someone we've talked about a lot this year, Andy, from speculating about what she was going to be doing. Obviously, she was part of WWE, then she was released, and then she was appearing in AEW, then the NWA, and what have you. It is jaw-dropping when you find out just how young she is and you realise she could still be a superstar in this industry.
Yeah, 34 years old, and it feels like she's been around for about 30 years somehow. Yeah. It's crazy. Serena Deeb's situation is so interesting because she didn't wrestle from 2015 until appearing in the 2017 Mae Young Classic. I'm sure she had her reasons for that. And then she gets into WWE, but as a coach, not as a wrestler. She doesn't wrestle for another 3 years. Then she gets released as a coach by WWE, and she joins AEW, and she's amazing. Like, yeah. She's a really, really great wrestler, Serena Deeb. You notice everything she does is clean, it's crisp. There's a technicality to her work that reminds me a lot of Zack Sabre Jr. She makes everything look real and legitimate, and her opponents have to work for every spot. She's a great carrier as well. I'm not saying that's what she did against Allison Kay, because Allison Kay is really good. But when she's in there with a less experienced wrestler, as she has been on a number of occasions, she's great at leading them through the match without making it look in any way cooperative. And that's the magic of pro wrestling. It's that Bret Hart stuff, man. I think Serena Deeb is absolutely fantastic. I suspect that Shazza McKenzie probably has a greater chance of getting that dream match than WWE contracted Bayley does. But look, this tweet is just another... It's not a piece of evidence, because if you're watching Serena Deeb, you know she's really, really good. But it's another sign that this is a real resurgence for one of our great underappreciated wrestlers. And I'm looking forward to seeing where it goes, man. That match at the pay-per-view this past weekend was really good. And, you know, AEW should probably sign Allison Kay as well, right? But Serena Deeb is great. Looking forward to more, for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think you could have excused it being just your bog-standard buy-in match, but I thought it was really good, a great start to Saturday's AEW pay-per-view. And like you say, she's just been catching everyone's eye this year, and people have just been going, why wasn't she wrestling more? And like you say, part of that may be her decision, but also if WWE were just like, you're a trainer, and she's only 34, which is mad because it means she was like, what, 24 doing the Straight Edge Society stuff? Yeah. Insane. I have no concept of time anymore, of course, due to the ongoing global bastard. But yeah, let's hope we get more dream matches involving Serena Deeb, and maybe, fingers crossed, one day Serena versus Bayley.
That would be a lovely thing indeed. Let's stick with AEW for a second to talk about Jon Moxley. He was speaking during the post-show scrum after Full Gear this weekend, answering a number of questions, including his opponent, Eddie Kingston. And he had high praise for Eddie Kingston, his old friend, of course, saying the following of their match and their feud. "Maybe everyone hated it, but I thought it was effing awesome. Jon Moxley, stay Jon Moxley. And the king stay the king, because Eddie Kingston still rules, despite the loss. The whole thing with Eddie has been really awesome. I guess I can say good things about him now, because our beef is squashed for the moment." He went on talking about how this feud only really came to life because Lance Archer tested positive for the illness currently ravaging the world. That led to Eddie stepping in for a title match on Dynamite that we assumed would be a one-off, but it grew into this feud over 4 weeks. Moxley said, "It just made perfect sense. I was like, I know this guy. I know me and Eddie can sell in 4 weeks. I know we can. I just had all the faith in the world." So the match went down at Full Gear. It was the pay-per-view main event. It was brutal, bloody, ugly in all the right ways. Moxley ended it by wrapping his forearm in barbed wire and applying the bulldog choke. It was gut-wrenching, considering like the emotion that went into this feud in such a short period of time. I don't think I will enjoy a wrestling feud in 2020 more than this. And it's great to hear that Moxley had a great time working with his old friend, because Eddie Kingston is one of the great underappreciated wrestlers of our times. is so great that he's on TNT now, 18 years later, able to show how awesome he is, particularly on the microphone, but he's a great wrestler as well. Dressed as Misawa at the pay-per-view as well, so extra points.
I have to say, I thought that main event was horrible.
But
in the best possible way. It's amazing that in a year we've seen like all the usual mad bumps and blading and what have you, and people getting busted wide open and people losing eyes. My most wince-inducing moment in 2020 was the rubbing alcohol being poured on John Moxley's thumbtack-covered back. Mad to think that Eddie Kingston, after all the bastardry that he has done throughout this feud, he's come out of it a huge baby face in my eyes. His face, when he just sort of had to grimly accept, gonna have to say I quit here, was just a picture. And it's a shame he didn't embrace Moxley post-match, but I sense that may well be to come, possibly with the return of Pac, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, great main event, I thought, as horrible it was, and I probably won't go back and watch it anytime soon, but I'll remember it. Some of those images are burned onto my brain. But let's move from AEW's pay-per-views to WWE Survivor Series, less than 2 weeks away, and the SmackDown team captain has been revealed. It is former Universal Champion Seth freaking Rollins. He revealed it on Saturday's episode of Talking Smack, saying, let's be honest, I know everyone thinks they're leading and that's fair. I appreciate that. I like that gamesmanship. But the truth is, there's only one great leader, one great redeemer, and that is me. I'll be leading Team SmackDown for the first time in my career, mind you, against Team Raw at Survivor Series. The right decision, Andy, and very quickly, just as a very quick aside, I accept Phil Chambers. Phil Chambers offered out a pasty bet for himself and Gareth, who do the SmackDown review, as available as a podcast, What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from, against myself and the Dudley Boys. We'll be Team Raw. They'll be Team SmackDown for Survivor Series. Phil Chambers, I really don't like our chances. But yeah, pasty bet, you're on.
Don't like your chances there either, pal. I'm not going to go your way.
But yeah, the right person to be SmackDown team captain with all the bollocks that's going on with him and Murphy and Leo Mysterio.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of silly nonsense going on SmackDown at the moment, but Survivor Series looks good, and I'm sure Seth will be fun as captain. He's such a prick. His character is such a prick that it can't not be fun watching him pissing people off on his own team, potentially.
Ironic that I think that match is probably one of the few matches Team Raw has a chance in, because they've got, like, Keith Lee and Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
And beef. SmackDown has got Roman Reigns' pal, who's more bothered about taking care of Roman Reigns as the tribal chief, Baron Corbin, and now the Friday night, whatever he's bloody called anymore.
I don't know. The Pope.
SmackDown Savior, that's it.
There we go.
Anyway, let's move on to your questions at What Culture WWE. Of course, if you want to get in touch with us, Big Joe 83 starts us off saying, I see WWE touched on a potential Celtic connection with Drew McIntyre and Sheamus. Could you see WWE expand on that and include Nikki Cross and a returning Becky Lynch as leader in future?
It's a tough one to read too much into at this kind of nascent stage. I think that the impression I get with Becky Lynch is that we might only see her on like a Ronda Rousey part-timer schedule going forward. That's purely my speculation. But when you have a kid, your priorities change a lot, right? I definitely think they'll do more with Drew and Sheamus. I think it makes sense to do so. They're good friends, obviously. They're both big lads who could beat the snot out of people. And, you know, Nikki Cross, I think they would probably need to pivot away from the kind of wackier elements of her character, but I think it could work.
Yeah, definitely see her, as Big Joe alludes to in the Twitter question, actually, doing something with Alexa Bliss. And, you know, all former champions to one extent or another. And they may take their titles, but they'll never take their freedom. Second question today comes from Sean Acklin, who says there's been a lot of cinematic matches, like a lot. You guys think this is a good amount, or has the ongoing global bastard maybe made people forget about the word moderation?
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of spammed them to oblivion. I personally am kind of fed up with them. I think they...
You weren't fed up on Saturday, though, were you? Let's be honest. Your boy.
I mean, Gangrel was good.
Yeah.
Gangrel was good. But I love the Boneyard. I love the Firefly Funhouse. But after that, they kind of started taking the piss a little bit, and not in a good way. Like, the Swamp Fight was... not for me. And in AEW, the tooth and nail thing didn't do anything for me either. I think that it would have been wise for WWE and indeed AEW to maybe only do like one or two more following the initial round of them. But we've ended up in this situation. It is what it is. It's been a way for promotions to present something unique without live fans in the building. But there's been a clear case of diminishing returns for me. And I would not be upset if they just stopped happening.
Yeah, exactly. I think for every Stadium Stampede or a Firefly Funhouse, like you say, you get like a tooth and nail match or that Money in the Bank thing, which is kind of crap, if I'm perfectly honest. I liked, you know, elements of it, like that when they did the, I forget what the exact terminology they used, but the enhanced audio thing and new angles for the Edge Randy Orton thing. Lots of bells and whistles on the greatest wrestling match ever. We saw Jaxi pretty good. But like you say, I think Sean's hit the nail on the head with the Twitter question there. Just pump the brakes a little bit. It was nice seeing Gangrel and the Hurricane on Saturday, but it's not something I'm ever going to go back and watch for very different reasons to the Moxley Kingston match. And like you say, I think make us miss it. Don't just go, oh, well, we haven't really got any ideas for this, so we'll just do it cinematic and get around it that way. I think that's the only way you're going to do it, but we'll have to wait and see. And like you say, the wrestling industry does not know the meaning of the word moderation.
No, it doesn't.
Final question today comes from Thomas Leon. Apologies, Thomas, for butchering your surname there. It says, hey, lads, now that AEW have announced a lot of games, what kind of games would you like? I'm thinking Mario Kart with AEW wrestlers.
I'd go on a similar line and say Super Smash Brothers with AEW wrestlers. How much fun would that be? I mean, I've been looking for a fun arcadey brawler, but with depth from wrestling, for a long time. We got Battlegrounds this year, but it's a little bit more simplistic. It's not really aimed at nerds like me. I think a Smash Brothers wrestling version would be tremendous.
Yeah, I really like that. We were talking beforehand and reminiscing about classic wrestling. Classic wrestling and classic games. For some reason, my brain merged AEW or any wrestlers right now and Street Racer from back in the day. Or I'll just take Football Manager, but with Sweet TK, if I'm perfectly honest, and we'll go there. And like you said, Andy, whatever AEW produces, it's not going to be as bad as the 2K, is it? So let's conclude with today's and finally, and where else are we going to go? But Renee Paquette's Twitter after Saturday night, she tweeted some great stuff on the evening, and last night tweeted, my mom is watching John's match from last night. She does not like it. So I thought, Andy, we could use this as a jumping off point and ask people to tell us about your awkward experiences of watching wrestling with other people. I definitely had a difficult conversation with my mom and dad around Trish Stratus versus Mickie James at WrestleMania. So
yeah.
Any similar issues with watching stuff back and people going, what the bloody hell are you watching?
Literally anything that's even remotely wacky on WWE programming in particular gets a very perplexed response from Mrs. Murray. You know, there's loads of particularly like silly stuff that I could point to, but things like the Swamp Fight, for example, just met with complete bewilderment. I thought this thing was about big fighting and all this stuff. Sometimes it happens in a swamp and someone dies at the end, but they're not really dead. It's a whole deal.
Tell us about your awkward experiences of people walking in and you thinking, should I just put porn on? Because it'd probably be easier to explain in the comment section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from. For daily wrestling podcasts, including myself and the Daddy Boys, looking ahead to Monday Night Raw later on today. Plus, you can let you know us know your thoughts. Twitter questions at What Culture WWE. Watch there. Follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, I can't wait to see what Tucker does on Raw tonight.
Oh, bloody hell. Tucker Knight, or as I like to call him, Tucker. I'm Adam Wilborn, at Adam Wilborn on Twitter. But for now, my thanks, Andy Murray. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.